Well, folks, I trust that you've been praying for me today and with a message to bring before you. Sometimes you know weeks ahead the message that you want to attempt to bring. And other times you think you have the right message and it changes on you, and sometimes more than once. But I feel strongly that this is a message that we need to have this morning. And I ask that you pray for me as we go through it. Now, folks, one thing I do want us to do as a congregation is to be Bible turners. We need to be turning pages. And sometimes I know I go through a lot of different scriptures that would require a lot. But still, it's important that we are familiar with our Bibles and we can turn to these passages that are important to us. This morning, I'm not actually turning so much. We're going to stay pretty much in one place. But I want you to turn, as we read this first scripture together, about the encounter that's recorded in Luke's gospel. This is the only gospel where this is recorded. It's the road to Emmaus. In the gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. Now, folks, what I want to do, I want to read through this encounter together. Well, when I say together, I want us to all follow along as we read from our Bibles. And then we're going to stop and start over and go through it and kind of examine some of the things that we see and learn in this encounter, because there's a lot here. And I pray that the Lord will direct us so that we can see the things that He intends for us to see, and that will open our eyes to glorify Him all the more. Again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one of whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which has happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with him went with us went to the tomb and found it was just as a woman had said to him. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon," and told all about the things which happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Folks, pray that we can glean from this some things that we oftentimes may overlook when we read a simple story like this. I mean, there's nothing simple about it. It's quite an encounter. And I hope, in a way, folks, you can put yourself on that road walking to Emmaus. Now, I want to go back up and start over, beginning in verse 13, and read it again. And then we're going to stop and try to notice some things that perhaps you overlook when you first read this encounter. Verse 13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?'" I want to stop right here and notice a couple of things. Number one, this has happened after the resurrection. The disciples were all together, but these two disciples are going off to Emmaus, which is a village 7 miles away. Now, the Bible doesn't say what their business was and why they were going to Emmaus, but they started off in the morning, but already they had heard the account from the women that Jesus was raised from the dead. Yet still, they went on their journey. And along this journey, we don't know at what point, they encounter Jesus. But the Bible specifically says here, and this is important, that their eyes were restrained. They didn't recognize him at this point, and that's a reason for that that we'll get into in just a moment. But he asked him, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk in or sad?" And folks, you need to be aware. Think about it. Jesus knows our very thoughts. He knows what's on our hearts. There, I listed here just three or four different occasions in the Gospels where the Bible records that Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He knew these disciples' thoughts as they were walking along the road. He asked them, "Why are they sad?" He already knew. Folks, he knows your thoughts this morning. Where are your thoughts this day? Where would your thoughts be if you were in the place of these two disciples? He knows your thoughts, folks, and you need to bring everything to him in prayer. Too often we miss out on the blessings that come from praying to God. The relief that may come to unload our burdens to him are simply to praise him. You know, there's quite a blessing that we receive when we praise God for the simple things, just for the gift of life that he gave us this day. It changes our attitudes, and we don't walk as sad when we start counting our blessings. If you ever try, you can't count them all. But they were sad, of course, because of the tremendous things that had just happened. To them, Jesus Christ, at this point, they didn't know where his body was, but they felt like he was dead and gone, and they were sad. Now let's continue. Verse 18, Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known these things which happened there in those days, or in these days?" And folks, Cleopas was a disciple. He knew Jesus. He was gathered together with the others. You know, there was more than just the 11 that were gathered together. It's believed that Cleopas was one of the 70 that was sent out when Jesus gave the commission to go out and bring nothing with you. And he was given extraordinary powers when the 70 went out. And they came back rejoicing. He knew Jesus. He was there when the women came and heard the story. So Cleopas knew Jesus very well. But he didn't recognize him right here. But he asked Jesus, and think of the irony of that. Do you not know the things that have happened in these days? They were consumed with thought over the crucifixion, over what had just happened. You might say, what occurred at the cross? And we just sang at the cross. Verse 19, and he said, that being Jesus, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, And now, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And folks, there's a lot in this statement that's being revealed by Cleopas. Now think just for a moment. You know, there used to be a show on TV. I never watched it, but it was about it was scheduled around businesses, and there were employees, and these wealthy business owners would come and work beside them. And you wonder what things those employees said about their employers. They were right there with them, and they didn't know it. That's the position Cleopas was with. What things would you say about the Lord? Look at the things that Cleopas said. And the thing is, you know, Lord, the Lord is always there. He's always aware. He knows our thoughts. What things do we say to other people? What things does the Lord hear us say about our Heavenly Father? How often do we praise God like we should? I think sometimes we fall down a little bit in that department, folks. Praise should continuously be on our lips for the good things that the Lord has done for us. But we need to give Cleopas the following, I guess, credit. Cleopas showed his belief that Jesus was sent from God. He recognized that. He described Jesus as a prophet in the sight of God. And he was not alone in that understanding. You know, Nicodemus had said that too. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was sent from God. But neither one of them truly understood why Jesus came. They didn't look at him. They wanted him to be something different. Let me just say at this point, they wanted something different in their interpretation of what the Messiah would be. See, Cleopas hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel from the Roman oppression. And folks, in this passage, the word that's used for redeem, the Greek word for that, if I pronounce this right, is latru, which means to liberate or to set free. That's what the Jewish population at that time wanted. That's what they expected from the Messiah. To most of the Jewish people, the Messiah would, when he came, would repeat or replicate the deliverance that they experienced in Egypt when they were set free with Moses. They wanted the Roman Empire to be overthrown, or at least they wanted to be liberated from the rule of the Romans. That's what they wanted the Messiah to do. They wanted Israel to be restored to its former glory that they had back in David's kingdom. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted. That's what was taught to the Jewish people, that the Messiah would come and take them out of oppression once again. And that's what they expected. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he addressed this. That's not the reason he came, folks. We know that now. But that would have been taught to the disciples, as I would say, as children growing up. It was pervasive in the Jewish society, and they couldn't let it go. Folks, too often times, we have preconceived ideas. And we allow these preconceived ideas to sometimes falsely direct us. And we don't always understand the scriptures because we have what we think they're supposed to mean, when sometimes it could be something different. How you explain to some people like the Jews in that time, when Jesus made the statement, for God not only loved the world so that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you see, the Jews thought it was only for them. They wanted grace. They wanted God's forgiveness. But they wanted it doled out and dispensed the way that they saw fit. They didn't want grace distributed to the Gentiles. And Jesus came for all his children, not just the Jews, not just the Gentiles, but all of his children in every nation, every kingdom, and of every tongue. He brought grace to all of his children. The Jewish people weren't able to accept that. They rejected Jesus. And now here we have Cleopas, and he's sad because he had these preconceived ideas that Jesus would have been the Messiah, would have been the one that would overthrow the Romans and allow the Jewish people to be free. Now let's continue verse 22. And this is still Cleopas speaking. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it to be just as a woman has said. But he they did not see. Now folks, this part is pretty telling too. And just think for a moment. Here they are talking to Jesus and they don't know it. But they're recounting the story. And as they recount the story, they don't know it, but their admission of unbelief and faith is being poured out. God knew it anyway, but at least now they're talking it. They're admitting it. They didn't understand it, but they were. Because he admitted here in the testimonies of both of the women that went. They didn't believe the women when they came back. They didn't believe the testimony. Peter went. He saw an empty tomb. John went. The Bible and other accounts say that Peter pondered what had happened. They did not believe the women. The women came back and gave this report before they went on this journey to go to Emmaus. Why didn't they believe? Folks, what would you do right now if the Lord asked us, why didn't you believe something in your life? When you didn't have the faith to say that perhaps the Lord would uphold you, support you, or guide and direct you. How oftentimes we turn to other sources rather than going to God. And folks, I'll say this about our emotions. You know, our emotions are an important part of our lives. Important part of our overall being. But our emotions are not infallible. Our emotions will lead us astray. Our emotions will sometimes lead us to except what the world teaches us and not what God's Word teaches us. We can't rely on our emotions to direct us through everything and through life. We're all on a road, you might say. We need God's Word to guide and direct our every step, not our emotions, because our emotions will lead us astray. Here Cleopas was sad. Let's read. He admitted to hearing the testimonies, but he did not believe that he was risen from the dead. He expressed his sorrow, and it comes in this verse here. Besides all this, this is the third day since these things happened, in verse 21. The third day when Jesus said he would rise again. He rose just like he said, but they didn't believe the woman's account. Why not, folks? Why is our faith sometimes weak? I believe it's true for most of us. I can't lay this on everybody that's here, but too oftentimes our faith is as strong as what we believe is humanly possible and not what is godly possible. There is a giant difference. There are no limitations with God. None. The disciples, you think for just a moment, after all of the miracles that they saw, after Cleopas had the ability, it said, to tread over scorpions and snakes, to heal people, to cast out demons. That was the authority that Jesus gave to the 70 when he sent them out on their mission. And they returned rejoicing, saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. How could they forget that? But they did. You see, the grief of the crucifixion had overcome them. And they were sad. And that's why I say our emotions sometimes blind us. There is nothing beyond the ability of God, and every word that God has spoken will come to pass. Jesus rose from the dead on that third day, just like he said. And they were sad about it because they didn't see it. And they didn't believe the report. Now, folks, we're getting a little bit personal here. We need to be careful with the things we say in our lives, don't we? We need to be careful about praising God continuously because too oftentimes we don't. We need to be careful about the examples that we set for other people. You know, we don't walk our journeys alone. There are times when it may seem like we're by ourselves, but there's other people on the roads that we travel to. You know, there used to be a poem back, I'm getting old, I guess it was back in the 80s. Footprints in the Sand, I think was the name of it. What kind of footprints are we leaving? Make no mistake, folks, just like that old poem talked about, Jesus leads us in our life. But we need to be tuned into His Word to follow His footsteps. And there are times in our life when He carries us, when we're weak. But we need to trust and obey Him to stay on the right path and not be led astray. Cleopas and the other disciple, it doesn't really say who this other disciple was. And that's not the important part. There is an important part, though. They were talking about all these things. It was evident that they loved God. They were talking about it. So if God is observing us this day, as we go, if we're given tomorrow with whatever road we're led down, will we talk and converse about God at all? What will God see when He observes us? What will our conversations be? He knows our thoughts. Don't act like we can hide that. He knows what it will be. What does He observe when He listens to us? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, I've highlighted that as something that you should write down, because Jesus says that every idle word you will be held account for. Every idle word. We seem to forget. We seem to act like that nobody knows the secret parts of our life. Never forget, folks, God looks on the heart, and He knows our thoughts. Now, let's keep going. Verse 25. Then He, being Jesus, said to them, O foolish ones. And, you know, when I looked at this portion, and it says foolish ones. When it says foolish, it's talking about the way we think and our behavior. We do foolish things, folks. It's not an insult. The Bible says not to call another person a fool. But here He's talking about a purposeful belief. You see, they totally discounted what the women said. So they were foolish in that act. That was a behavior. And Jesus is bringing this out to them. Oh, foolish ones! In other words, why didn't you believe? Why? And slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. What a wonderful time that would have been. Can you imagine on the road? Folks, do you ever, and I don't have this ability, but don't you wish that somebody could just pour out to you the Scriptures and explain all those little secret details that you don't quite understand? Don't you wish that your eyes were open and you could feel it? I wish that we could. I pray that the Lord will bless us. And you know, the deeper we get into the Bible and into prayer, the more it's opened. You see, this was a long journey. It was a 7-mile journey. How long did this conversation take place? It wasn't just a snap of the finger. No, He conversed with them. Don't you wish that you could walk on that road with the Lord? They were being blessed in a certain way. They were pouring out their hearts. They were admitting their failures and unbelief, and they didn't know it. But there Jesus was, and He was compassionate. He was loving. You see, He knew them. They were His followers. They were His children. And He opened their eyes to their understanding. In verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone further. And I'm explaining the obvious here. Jesus is saying, well, I need to go further. But it says, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to stay with them. Now, folks, do you ever not, we sang in the garden. Do you sometimes want to stay there with God all the day long and just not let it go? That's how much we should love the Lord. The Lord opened their hearts to the Scriptures and He explained it to them. He loved them in doing this. He uplifted, He strengthened them, and they didn't want Him to go. They constrained Him, stay with us. And He did. Verse 30, now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, that He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and they vanished from His sight. Now, folks, what a miracle this is. just this little part. He broke bread. Just as he had done 3.5 days before at the Lord's Supper. He broke bread and they knew him. Their eyes were open and they knew who he was. Folks, Jesus had been resurrected. He was in this new body. And you think for just a moment. It says here, he vanished from their sight. I told you a minute ago, there are no limitations with God. We don't quite understand all the powers and the way Jesus is now, but he's in this new created body, and the Bible tells us that we will be like him. There are no constraints. In every part of the gospel, in every account, it shows that he just appeared. He's not constrained by physical barriers and walls. If he's not constrained by knowing our thoughts, dear folks, there is no limitation on him. He was there, and he vanished. He had walked the entire road with them physically. He wasn't just an apparition. He wasn't a ghost or a spirit. He was in his physical resurrected body, this Jesus. Verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now, folks, there's a couple things here. There's only one thing on the PowerPoint, but there's more. They hurried back 7 miles to Jerusalem. Now, it's believed that most of the disciples were younger men in their 20s to 30s, but they had already walked 7 miles. They had a 7-mile journey back. So no matter how old you are, 14, 15 miles is pretty tiring. But it didn't matter. They wanted to go share with other people what Jesus had revealed to them. Their hearts were burning because the word was open to them. Now they believed. Now they believe that Jesus Christ was risen. He walked with them, folks. And I'm going to tell you that there are times when God walks with us in many ways on our roads too. He promises us that he is with us always. We are never alone. If he knows our thoughts, he's in our hearts and in our minds every day of our lives. And they hurried back 7 miles. And they're sharing now all the things that Jesus had told them. And they were excited. In verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Now I read the rest of this account last Sunday at Easter when Jesus appeared to the disciples. The disciples were gathered together. In Mark's account, they didn't really believe these two disciples had returned. They didn't believe the women, and now they didn't really believe Cleopas and the other disciple. And suddenly Jesus appears and says, peace to you, and they were all terrified. And that's when Jesus ate the fish. You see, there is no physical barriers to God. There are no limitations. He is the risen Christ. And folks, we need to recognize who it is that we serve. And he is the name above every other name. He is the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who we serve. That's who we have our hope in. Because he rose from the grave. And what was the first message he said? Peace to you. You know, folks, our road can sometimes be pretty difficult. But when we are walking with God, we have that peace that passes all understanding. But folks, we've got to be focused on God. It needs to be kind of like we have a conversation with God throughout the day. Continuously in prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Do we do that in our lives? Or do we just go to God in prayer when we want something? Folks, if that's the way we are, it's wrong. You see, Luke 24 could be considered the model of a journey that we make with Jesus today. We all have a road that we travel. But when we turn to him, when we converse with him, when we go to God, go to the Bible, just like he did with his disciples, he opens our eyes too. He points us to his word. Jesus said, live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God and not by bread alone. We are to be in God's word constantly. He reveals himself to us through each day he gives us. Through every day that we walk, folks, Jesus is there and he knows our thoughts. And he is the resurrected Savior. We can never forget this. Who walks beside you? Who is your companion? It is the Father, the Creator, our Sustainer, our Lord and Savior. Now, as we close, there's 2 points I want you to consider. It is impossible to please God without faith. When we fail to trust God's word, God knows this failure. He knows what's in our hearts. And if we go to God in prayer and we don't believe in the things we're asking, He's not going to answer our prayers. We must have faith. And folks, I will say this, if your faith is that weak, and all of our faith is weak from time to time, God just might put you on a journey to where you have no other choice and option but to trust in him, so it will strengthen your faith. And the story of Jonah comes to mind. You see, we should not ever discount what God's word tells us. We should never not believe that there are no limitations from the Lord. And we should never not believe that the Lord holds us in his hands. God cares for us. He cares for me and you. And just like he knew the unbelieving, the lack of faith that the disciples had, he knows our faults, our foibles. He knows all of our infirmities. And God is a compassionate God. And when we go to him in prayer, he forgives us of our sins and our weaknesses. And folks, most importantly, last point I'd like to make from this is that we know the Lord through fellowship. Jesus revealed himself when? When they sat at the table and they broke bread. That's when they revealed himself, when it was close, when it was intimate. Jesus said, go into your closet and pray. Just you in the Lord. You see, we need to understand we have a relationship with the Lord. A relationship. Jesus says he is our Father. And we are to pray to him, our Father who art in heaven. It's a relationship. We need to be close. We need to go before him in confidence, knowing that if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. And that if we pray for strength, that he will strengthen us as we need. If we pray for more faith, that he will hear our prayers. And that if we do our part, if we go to the Bible to learn his word, he will increase our faith and provide the needs that we truly require, because he is the Lord. And folks, one of the things he's commanded us to do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. I pray that God will bless us, because we're all on a road. The Lord has put us on a road, and he will walk with us down that road. And I pray that it will be a road that along the way we will exercise our faith. And the more we exercise our faith, folks, other people will see it. And I believe it will turn into a simple journey. We all have a separate journey anyway, but other people observe it. And I pray that it will be this simple. Prophet Micah said the following. What does the Lord, and this is the Lord speaking through the prophet Micah. And we think about a road that we walk down in our lives. What does he require of us? He has shown you what is good. O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you walk humbly before the Lord, confessing your sins before him and having faith in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, folks, he will bless you. And I can promise you that the footprints you leave behind and other people follow, they will be blessed because the testimony of your faith in our Lord and Savior. May he add his blessings, is my prayer.